2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I would like to read from verse 1. We'll read down through verse 10. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. How do we, as the Lord's people, differ from those around us? How do we who are chosen of God, justified and redeemed, quickened and called, joined together with Christ, holy in the sight of God, all these great effects of mercy, how do we differ practically and evidently from those around about us? Not externally. We can't look at someone and know whether that person is saved or unsaved. Not by having easier lives than other people. We all know that that isn't true. Not by enjoying continuous runs of victories and successes in our natural life and circumstances. Again, we know that's not true. Not having the answers to the problems we face in life. It's not that we have all the answers and can give those answers when we are challenged or troubled. Not by being free from weakness in this flesh and the deceit of sin. Because again, those are part of our experience. Not even by profession, because there are many who profess Christ, but it is a different Christ, a different gospel upon which their hopes are pinned. Now we differ in one key feature, one characteristic that distinguishes us from all else, and that is that we have faith in Christ. We have reason to trust him, and we have solid grounds to hope in the promises of God for eternal life. We differ in trusting Jesus Christ as the one upon whom our eternal security hinges. Here in these verses, in the opening of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is continuing, as he was in chapter 4, to speak about his role as an apostle and a gospel preacher, and the confidence that undergirds his ministry and his activity, his work. And yet what he has to say regarding and concerning himself applies to all the blood-bought children of God, and it applies to you and me. And I'm not going to even attempt, I can't unpack everything that's in these 10 verses in the time that we've got before us tonight. But I want to just look at 3 points that might help to open up this passage for us. And the first one is this. We have been made by God to enjoy eternal life. We have been made by God to enjoy eternal life. I asked at the beginning, what makes us different? Well, the Lord God has made us to differ. Verse 5 tells us, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. And that's a key verse in this passage. That word wrought in there, we don't use it very much. I'm not sure about our American brothers and sisters here tonight. I don't know whether you use the word wrought iron, but it's pretty much the only time we use the word wrought these days. And we speak about wrought iron fences, and basically what we're saying is that it's ironwork that has been hammered into shape. And that's what God has done. He has hammered us into shape. He is working us. He is preparing and forming us for eternal life. He that hath wrought us, made us, formed us, prepared us for everlasting life is God, is what Paul is saying here. And we have an earthly body now that will and must dissolve and return to dust whence it came. But Paul is telling us that he has, and therefore we have, a building of God, or a building that God has prepared. That's what he says in verse 1. And God is the creator, God is the architect, the designer of this building of God that we have. It is a house not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. So the Apostle Paul is saying here that he has this confidence undergirding his labours and his service and his outlook on the world and on life, which sees that God is making of him something that will enjoy glory everlastingly. And this is what he says to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But he uses the same idea when he speaks to the Ephesians. He says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to serve, to honour, to glorify, to worship, to live with and to enjoy Christ Jesus forever. And he says the same to the Romans in his epistle to the Romans. We are crafted vessels of mercy, afore prepared unto glory, that we might partake in the riches of his glory. And that's the first point that I want to make here, that the Apostle Paul is stressing that God has made us to differ. He has worked upon us to make us fit for eternal life with him. And the second thing that the apostle points out is that we with him, we believe that God has wrought upon us, that we have a house in heaven. We believe that to be true because we have been given faith to believe it. When God made us a new creation to that end, that we should dwell with him everlastingly in heaven, he gave us the earnest of the Holy Spirit as a token, as a foretaste, as a down payment or deposit, if you like, as evidence of more that is to follow. And faith in Christ is a divine gift given by God to those that he has wrought upon, that he has worked upon, that he has prepared for glory. So that despite being flesh and fallen and sinful and incapable of discerning spiritual things, the gift of faith has been given, the Holy Spirit has been given, and that gift of faith quickens and enables spiritual sense and awareness. And that little verse speaks to us in verse 7 here, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This explains a lot to a believer, because all our spiritual understanding and all our spiritual discernment comes from the faith that we have been given. Without faith, we cannot please God. So God gives us faith, and by that faith, we walk. And that's what this verse is telling us. We walk, we live, we have an existence, a spiritual existence, because of the faith that we have been given. We have spiritual life, and we walk in that spiritual life. We live and we follow Christ. Now, I'm sure that we all know that it's a narrow road, but we're walking it. We know that it's rough and steep, and that at times it is poorly lit, but we're walking it. We're on the road with Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, and we're heading home to glory. However, and this is something that is worth remembering, there's no visible or tangible or physical evidence that proves this to be the case. There's nothing that we can see, touch, handle, or experience with the natural senses that can in itself confirm our spiritual life in Christ. And that's why often people are challenged about their assurance, because there's nothing that we can see and touch and handle and hold. It's by faith that we enter into the experience of these things. Our present security and our inheritance of eternal joy and happiness in heaven is perceived only through faith. A man died 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross, and by faith, we believe that that fact has secured for us the promises of God and earned for us and bequeathed to us all that Christ is and all that Christ has done. And that's not a vain hope. It is assured to us by the revealed character of God, by the fact that God is God, that he is omnipotent and omniscient and all glorious. His purpose and his truth are revealed to us in Scripture, that these things are so. It is gained for us by the success of the Son of God. We believe that Christ was successful on the cross. That is what our hope is built upon. It is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, given to us as an earnest, and it is received by faith. We believe it to be so. And here's just the third point, and I'll be quick. That faith that we have been given in the fact that God has wrought this work upon us and given us this heavenly hope, that faith in itself gives us hope and knowledge and confidence that in God we will have all that he has promised. The Apostle Paul talks about confidence in this passage. That if, or rather when, our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have eternal life. We have eternal glory. We have everlasting happiness laid up for us in heaven with the saints. And we're confident, says Paul, that whether we live or die, we are acceptable to God, being cleansed from sin by the blood of Christ and wholly justified by the righteousness of Christ. And our service or our labour is acceptable to God, being the fruit of grace in our lives and the evidence of Christ in our hearts. And we're confident, says Paul, that when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we all shall, everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that little phrase there ought to be a cause of great concern to all who have no faith, no hope, and no reason to believe that their sins are forgiven, taken away. However, it proves to be of little concern to them because their understanding is darkened and they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:18. But to us who believe, it is the cause of great joy. It is the cause of great joy to the people of faith because by faith we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We know that righteousness has been imputed to us. We know that Christ abideth in us by his Spirit which has been given to us. We know that he shall appear and we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Some people tell us that believers will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Why would we be ashamed? Because our deeds are evil? What evil deeds are those? The forgotten ones? The ones that are cast behind God's back? The ones that have been sunk in the sea of his forgetfulness? The ones that have been cleansed and forgiven and carried away on the cross by Jesus Christ? No. These are the days of which the Lord spoke to Jeremiah when he said, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I have reserved." Our sins are gone. What about our good works then? Yes, we have all the good works ordained that we should walk in them. We have the righteousness of God. We have the holiness of Christ. We have the purity and perfection of the vessels created to honour. We have the well done of Christ. We have the sincere title of good and faithful servant. Better than that, we are the sons of God. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and we shall have that kingdom." We'll not have 90% of the kingdom, or 80%, depending on how good we've been or not, or what we've done or not. We shall have the kingdom prepared for us. And if we have grace, we shall have glory, untarnished, unlimited, and undiminished, because we have Christ, and we are joint heirs with him, and he is all our glory. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.
Amen.